Today, the radio broadcast portion of the UCC Church worship service is given by Ruth and Bob Schmidt in memory of sister-in-law Pat Moore and dad Albert Moore.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 26, and it's subtitled The Community Meal. Now I don't praise you as I give you the following instructions, because when you meet together, it does more harm than good. First of all, when you meet together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. It is necessary that there are groups among you to make it clear who is genuine. So when you get together in one place, it isn't to eat the Lord's meal. Each of you goes ahead and eats a private meal. One person goes hungry while another is drunk. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you look down on God's churches and humiliate those who have nothing? What can I say to you? Will I praise you? No, I don't praise you in this. I received a tradition from the Lord, which I handed on to you. On the night which he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, After giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." He did the same thing with the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you drink it, do this to remember me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you broadcast the death of the Lord until he comes.
Paul, could you turn on the next slide? So we're going to ancient Corinth today, which is where we read our scripture reading from. Thank you, Don. And if we learn to turn to the next slide, you'll see this is the market area of the ancient Corinth. These are some of the ruins that are still there, are there that they have uncovered now. And if we turn to the next, this is the Temple of Apollo. In Corinth, there's temples of Apollo everywhere you turn around. He was a popular god for the Greeks, probably, I think, the most. This is that you can see the community here on the ground level. And then you see a mountain in the background. You see a little bit of stuff there on the top of the mountain? If we turn to the next slide, there you see another temple to another god. And I'm going to come into the pulpit. I'm sorry. So, if we turn to the next slide, and this is where I want to start with our service. So may the Lord be among us as we turn to this word. When the early Christian church in Corinth came together to worship, they likely worshiped somewhere on the plain. Let's go one back slide. Go backwards one, two. Another one. There. They probably worshiped somewhere in the plain area. What happened to that mountain we tried to put in there? Did it disappear? Somewhere between the Temple of Apollo and the temple we saw high on the hill. They were always in the shadow of the temples to other gods, these early Christians. Not far from the marketplace. Not far from the theater where the sporting events and the entertainment was offered. Not much has changed, has it? We still worship surrounded by temples to other gods. Other gods' names are not Apollo or Diana, but we know their names. They're the gods that pull us away from worshiping and serving God, living out the commandments, loving our neighbors as ourselves Sunday mornings and throughout the week. We each know what tempts us to stay away or ignore the God we profess to believe. Sometimes it's our activities on Sunday mornings in a culture that no longer honors the faith. It could be scheduled events, or it could be unexpected visitors or family who have come to visit, and they don't go to church, so we don't take them to church, and so we end up having to stay home because we don't want to put them out. It could also be that the gods we worship don't directly pull us away from Sunday morning worship services or Sunday school, but that when we are out and about during the week, we're not true to the God in Jesus Christ that they are expecting us to be. We judge others. We speak behind their backs. We take the Lord's name in vain, or we neglect to honor our father and mother. We're not guilty of murder. However, killing the heart and soul of another we name as stupid or a troublemaker, or as we used to say, as a goody-goody two-shoes. Of that, we may all be guilty. When we watch the news, if we can even bear to watch it anymore, we judge and we fail to love the neighbors that God has given to us. And we accept and normalize that which Jesus would not tolerate. Yes, always we are living and worshiping in between the gods of our culture and the God we want to worship or called to worship. Things have not changed. Do you see it? Healthy churches bring together a variety of people. And so it was in the days of Paul and in Corinth. There were former Jews and folks who had worshipped a variety of gods prior to becoming Jesus' followers. There were shopkeepers and beggars. There were people of great means who could subsidize and did subsidize the ministry of Paul and the fellow evangelists. There were different nationalities, widows and children, families and those who never married, people who would not likely come together in other places, came together as the worshiping community. Here at UCC, we are fairly homogeneous. Yet, among us are people with whom we would not cross paths in other places. Look around you. Are these the folks you are friends with out in the community prior to knowing them in the church? In the Corinthian church, this mix of people at times caused some quarreling. Not everybody got along. Imagine that. Sometimes churches tell me they have no conflict. I've yet to know one that is conflict-free over time. There are always people who get along well with one another and those who don't. It's really no surprise when we think of our different histories, our personalities and priorities, our theological, sociological, and political persuasions, that we're going to have some differences of opinion. Are we surprised about that? In the Corinth church, I'm sure Jesus knew about the differences among his families. What he so often did was to sit down at table with people who were different from one another. There were Pharisees and tax collectors, rich and poor people, fishermen and prostitutes at his tables and on the hillsides. It's no surprise now that, as I think of it, Jesus commanded his disciples to sit down at table together with one another, to break bread and to pour the cup in remembrance of him. All these different folk, all us different folk, sitting down at table. It was a full meal deal. Not just a morsel of bread and a swallow of wine. No, there was meat. And in the early church, that meat caused some problems. I'll tell you about that in another sermon. And there was fruits and vegetables. Probably more olives than I want to see. Maybe some almonds. Unless there were rich benefactors or hosts, those meals were likely potlucks. Bring what you got. And then sit around the table and pray and worship and talk. And yes, there were issues. In the 11th chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, Paul lets the church know he is none too happy with them, as you heard Don read for you. There are divisions among them. And maybe to get around those divisions, or maybe because the members were thinking only of themselves and not of the other members, some of them were coming to church to dinner early. And as one of my farmer friends in another church said, you know, we're just kind of like pigs at a trough. We just run and go and eat, and first one there gets the food. Right? That's what was happening in Corinth. So some of the Corinthians would eat and maybe leave, probably those that did not have to work as they were independently wealthy or whatever. And then the next crowd would come and they would eat and leave. And then the field workers would come and find only scraps of food at the bottoms of the bowls. Paul saw that as a problem. Not only did the hungry remain hungry, but the church was not gathering and all praying together and all talking with each other and all supporting each other. Remember, they were still worshiping between those false gods of the culture. Yeah, just like us. I have some real concerns, and I'm not alone. We're going to have a conversation in the next month or so about continuing to have our coffee fellowship. We have neither people willing to serve. Those who served in the past are no longer able. And many of us say we are too busy or we don't want to be tempted by the sweets. So we leave this community of UCC immediately after we've prayed and sung a hymn or two. We don't stay and check in with one another. We don't support each other on our faith journey. We don't dream together about what ministries we might do. Or we don't say to each other, "Hey, I'm missing so-and-so. Have you seen them? Oh, maybe I better call." I don't know all the reasons why we're so quick to leave, and my friends, I kid you not, there was one person after another today that came to me and said, "Pastor, I want to stay, and I can't. I got this to do. I got that to do. I can't. And I believe them. I believe that we are in that kind of a world right now. And I believe that we are so doggone busy that we are on this roller coaster and we want to get off and we don't know how. I get it. I've been there. I don't know all the reasons why people can't be here. Maybe we don't like each other or someone, or maybe we're trying to avoid someone. Maybe we have a health issue, or maybe it's the only time our family will come to visit. What I'm saying is, in this world, we need each other to support each other on the faith journey, at worship and around the table. Audrey told me this week or last that it's the minister's job to get a speaker for the second half. Well, I didn't know that. You can bet I'm going to work on that this week even to see if we can get somebody for October 15th. And my friends, I hope you sign up because we need to be together. 2 or 3 or 10 or 15 or 30 of all generations and of all walks of life and all family configurations. I hosted a family gathering this summer. Everyone was invited. It was announced. It was a diverse group that sat around and had more fruit salad than beans. And we sat around and we talked. We visited. We got to know each other. It would be great to have more congregational events, to find a time and to say, "Hey, y'all, come on over." Or, "Hey, let's meet at the bowling alley." Or, "Hey, y'all, I want to go to Hardee's for lunch. Come and join me." Yes, we do have times together. I watched as pickup trucks converged on the parking lot this week as several men of the congregation worked together to prepare the sanctuary registers. Aren't they beautiful for painting? I got to say, I hope more than a few will come downstairs for the fun of the baked goods auction. I didn't bake anything yet. I think you want me to disinfect my kitchen first. But you can bid on a pie I will make soon. I suppose if you just now thought of something that you could offer, Emily and Carla, they'll work with you. Making pot pies was important to coming together. Whatever we do, we need to make sure that all are welcome. And that we don't set some aside and say, "Well, you go and work there so you're not with the whole group." We need to make sure that we're all together and all included. All are welcome. The ones we like and the ones who rub us the wrong way. Yes, Jesus knew it. Paul knew it. We know it. The community meal is important. Sitting around the table, laughing and crying, figuring out how to make sense of this mixed up world, trying to support each other as best to be the best follower of Jesus we can be in a world that no longer encourages us to be Jesus followers. It's harder today. How are we going to help each other? Every single one of us knows what it's like to be on the roller coaster. How can we help each other? Because it's too much all the way around. It's just too much. And we're left empty. Exhausted, angry, hurting. How are we going to help each other? Amen. If I hadn't deleted the prayer, I'd have you read it. But I deleted it, so I guess I got it. Let us pray. Oh, Lord our God, we give you thanks for one another. We give you thanks for all that this church does together. We give you thanks for the ways that you touch our lives in this place. We thank you for the ways that we are there for each other. Help us. Help us, God, to accept the love of one another, to do the work that needs to be done. Oh God, help us to sit at table with each other, but also with all these people all around the world. So many of them who are hungry, so many of them who are hurting, so many of them who are homeless, so many of them who are looking for peace and justice here in this land and around the world. God, help us to sit at table with them, because that's what you did. Open our eyes to the needs of others and how it is that Jesus' followers are to be among them. We do pray for all who cannot come because of their illness, who are hurting because of grief, who are struggling alone in their homes. Help us to go out into the world to share your good news. And help us to encourage each other. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond to God's goodness with the giving of our gifts. Gracious God, we thank you for these gifts that have been offered to do the ministry in the world and in this church. Receive our gifts for neighbors in need. Help those who receive it to know that it has been given in love and in hope, so that they might know love and hope. Bless us, we pray, now as we come to your table to know your presence in this life-giving bread and cup. In Christ's name, amen. It is good to be with you. You may be seated.